if you can put it in a few words of the central meaning of this card.
Well, I can stick with what I said, but maybe it's just personal. But yeah, I can say that if I don't believe it, I probably wouldn't fight for it.
Good. Good for you. So this is a matter of personal belief. Personal belief and personal, what would be the word? I'm trying to think if there's a word that goes with that. There's a commitment to personal belief here. Good. Anne-Marie.
I saw a lot of things, but I saw two things that were sort of different levels of the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And one was, even though I've never seen the movie this comes from, I saw Clint Eastwood saying, "Make my day."
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. And then, to me, another level of it is like, bring it all on, like taking on all comers, but it's like bringing it all on, like may my karma ripen upon me so that I can take care of it all now.
Uh-huh. So there is a kind of do or die, bring it on now, let's do it and get it over with kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that means it is kind of a last ditch stand in a way.
Well, it's a last ditch stand, but yes, it is, but it also could be going on for a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a sense of desperation in this, or a kind of fierceness that comes from the knowledge that there's no turning back and there's no tomorrow?
I was thinking more of the fierceness, but it could be seen at many levels and many aspects. In another aspect, yes, it would be the desperation.
Great. Shahrazad?
Okay, well, I see it as it's time for him to be daring. He's being challenged, and he needs to take...
Talk up a little bit.
Okay. It's time for him to be daring,
uh-huh.
And he's being challenged, but he needs to take on an unknown risk. I see those wands as coming up as, you know, he's not expecting them, and they're just popping up, sort of like a riddle that he needs to solve, whether it's physical, like a labyrinth, or intellectual. But whatever he does, he needs to break through, and he needs to leap off that cliff.
Now, the interesting question is this something that he is confronted with without his wishing for it to be there, or is this something that he goes out seeking as a challenge?
No, I don't think he was seeking it. I think he was heading towards something that he wanted to accomplish, and these obstacles came up out of nowhere.
Great.
And he, when he leaps off that cliff, he needs to hold on to the wand with both hands tightly, because that's keeping a grip on his desire.
Excellent. Now, what I want you guys to do, after having said all of those things, again, there's a kind of unity of theme in all this. Given that unity of theme, of intensity and commitment and risk and power and belief in himself, belief in his cause, and all of those things, and the necessity to fight for what one believes in, take a look, turn the six of wands back up, face up, and put it to the left of the seven. And put the five next to the six. And take a look at the journey that is being traveled between those three cards. And now you know what the six is in the middle of, what was behind him and what was ahead of him. You don't necessarily have to say anything about this. I just want you to be aware of how these cards are connected. Good.
Before we leave this is the only wand that I've seen so far that has growth coming out of both ends.
That's true. You're right. Absolutely. Good
it has
for you.
What?
That is growing out of both ends. It has green leaves growing out of both ends. Almost always the wands show the growth at one end. This has possibilities on both ends. There is an ambivalence to this card. There are consequences to both ends of that wand. Good point. This card has always the seven always has the issue, the question as to whether or not he is being, you know, he's doing the good thing, he's fighting the good fight, or whether he's simply feeling threatened and vulnerable and paranoid. Is it courage or is it paranoia that we're seeing? And we don't really know, and it could be either one. In either case, either way, there's still the question, there's still the issue of his courage, because in either case, paranoid or real, he's still fighting an enemy, and he's still fighting it with his whole heart and soul. And so there is courage and there is effort. By the way, if you were, let's say, for example, that you had a situation where a person that you knew had been committed to a mental institution. And you wanted to know whether, and you weren't sure whether it was the right thing. Let's say somebody in your family had been committed by somebody else in your family, and you weren't altogether sure. This is something that comes up sometimes in the movies. And I don't know, I guess it must happen in life because the movies are supposed to copy life. But in any case, let's say that something like that had happened, and you weren't sure of the validity of consigning this person to a mental institution. And you drew one card to see what was going on here, and this card came up. What would you say? Sherazade, what would be your feeling about that?
Well, I would say that you should probably try to help to get the person out.
Uh-huh.
I think that the person is dealing with some conflicting things, but that maybe there's a plot against them and that it's not paranoia.
Okay, good. Jaina, what's your feeling about this? Same question.
I really think it would be a matter of this person building confidence to get out, to, you know, maybe it's not necessarily what you would want for this person, but if that person who put them in there had the authority, it would be more of a case of talking to them about truly listening and building confidence in a relationship with that person, because I would think that the relationship deteriorated and that's what caused them to lose confidence in each other.
Cool. Martha, if this card were to have come up reversed, what would you say the mental state of this person was?
Borderline gone.
Borderline gone. Cool. Good. Sabrina, and your feeling?
If it came up reversed?
Uh-huh.
I was thinking about the other way.
Think of it reversing. Here's this person who's gone into a mental institution, been committed. You're not sure of their status. The person is important enough to you to really want to know, and this card were drawn reversed.
Well, I would say that probably the place they needed to be at the time.
Okay.
Actually, I'll take that back, Walt. If it would come, I would say that if the question you asked about the person being committed is upright, I would say the person is borderline gone.
Mm-hmm.
And if it comes up reversed, then I would say there was the wrong assumption was made.
Oh, good. Okay, that's a very good call. Now, remember, we had an election recently, in which there was a big issue in Florida for a few days. Okay. Now, let's say, for example, that, you know, while we were in the middle of all this, and they were arguing back and forth, and nobody knew how it was going to turn out, not for a while. I mean, it was pretty iffy there for a long time. It kept going back and forth. And, Linda, if this card had been drawn, let's say you wanted to know who was going to win, Bush or Gore, but you had to ask, you had to ask it in a more positive way. Is Gore going to win? And this card came up.
Reversed or upright?
No, upright.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I really can't call that. I would think that he's not going to win from that.
Okay. And let me see. Kelly, do you feel, is given the same card in the same situation, also upright, do you feel the same way that card tells you that Gore is not going to win, or does it tell you that he will? Or does it tell you that you can't know?
I kind of have the guts to call it. But I might have said it's going to go to the very bitter end.
Uh-huh. So he'll fight it out till the absolute end. And you don't know, actually, from that, I gather from what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say, Marcy, if the same question, is Gore going to win, and this card came up but reversed, what then?
Well, hindsight is 20/20, I'm absolutely not.
Okay. So you're figuring, though, if this card came up, he's just going to lose this one. Uh-huh, so it might be a total loss.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Exactly.
Okay, I think we have a pretty good general idea of what this card is about and in the context of the other ones that we've done. Let's do the eight. So turn the eight of wands face up and turn the seven face down. Turn all the cards face down except the eight. Observe it carefully and write down your thoughts about what it might mean. Okay. Let me add to what you've got, the esoteric title and the astrological attribution. The esoteric title of this card is the Lord of Swiftness. And the astrological attribution is Mercury in Sagittarius. For those of you who have a familiarity with astrology, even a little bit, that should be very suggestive. And let me give you a little bit of the imagery here. There's not too terribly much in this. This is a fairly simple card. But the eight wands themselves give you the sense, they refer to Sagittarius. They're the arrow shafts of Sagittarius's bow. And the number eight is the number of Mercury. At least it is in Kabbalah, which is what the attributions here come from. So you have the references to both Mercury and Sagittarius in that picture. And of course, a swift flight also gives you the sense of Mercury. There's a castle on the hill. Now, when you have a castle or even a house, especially if it's a white one, on a hill, the hill always gives a sense of higher energy and intensity to whatever is on top of it. And the white house or the white castle on the hill usually gives a sense of wishes fulfilled. The imagery and the sense of that is what is involved with a white house or a white castle on a hill. And you'll find that throughout tarot. Wherever you see that, be aware that you're looking at essentially a good omen. It's distant, but it's there. And the stream that wanders through this card gives you the flow of life, the flow of goodness. It's basically a flow of benevolence that runs through the entire deck, actually, and all water in the deck comes from the priestess. And what you're looking at here is sheer flow of living benevolence in that water. And of course, all the trees are the sources of the wands. All of them represent forms of life, and the entire thing is very green. There is, in the distance, a set of low mountains, very far away. But mountains, and when you see mountains in the background of a car, just below the skyline, mountains almost always refer to limits of imagination, limits of intelligence, limits of vision. But in this case, the limits are so far away that you get a sense of great expansiveness, and it's a very benign car because of the coloring. And eights in general usually refer to temporary success. It's successful, but just for the time being, not leading to anything beyond itself. That's what eights usually refer to in tarot. Now, I'm saying this, and you may find there are lots of, attributions to the numbers. There's several different numerological systems out there. I know Marcy is a numerologist and may have an entirely different sense of what eight is about because there are different systems. But this particular system, the one we're working with, is a Golden Dawn system, and everything that I'm telling you basically comes from there. And within this system, this set of meanings or attributions to the numbers holds up, and it tends to be useful to stay inside a given system with all of its parts. So from the point of view of the Golden Dawn system, eights, generally speaking, represent that, just temporary success. Now what I'd like you to do is to close your eyes and visualize the Eight of Wands. See it in action. See it actually happening in front of you. And see the whole scene and contemplate the central meaning of that action. Good. Take two deep breaths, and when you're ready, open your eyes and write down what you discovered. Okay, I'm going to split these cards among you now, the 8, the 9, and the 10, rather than going through everybody, because there's a lot to do yet and not too much time. So, Shahrazad, what is the core meaning of this card?
Okay, I think it's movement towards completion, and it, when those wands land, they've been shot with so much power behind them that some will be planted, but some will bounce or land in unexpected ways.
That's interesting.
To keep it as expected as possible, the will needs to be really strong to direct them.
Good. So mainly what's happening is that something is about to happen. Something's about to be finished.
Right, but it may be not be in the way you think.
Okay, so there's a little bit of an element of surprise in it. Cool. Kelly, what's your sense of this card? What's it mean?
Excuse me. Hang on, because everything that you've put out there is coming home.
The chickens are coming home to roost.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that can be very tricky.
Yeah.
When was the last time a chicken came home to roost for you?
I don't remember one doing so.
You lucky thing! That's so funny.
No, that's
good.
Not true, but...
You're not going to tell me, I know. Okay. That's very interesting. But
I do tend to think in terms of words and communication.
Uh-huh. Okay, and that's actually true. One of the standard meanings of this card has to do with messages and letters, and you know, and words spoken in haste. Actually, that's one of the big issues here is communication for sure. Well, Mercury is about communication, and Sagittarius is about speed. So, absolutely, the two things go together really well. Good, Peggy. What's
Honey,
it about?
I seem to get the opposite of what the Lord of Swiftness and Mercury and Sagittarius.
Huh.
I got poised for flight.
Poised for flight.
Mm-hmm. Suspended action. It's almost like that hairbreadth instant when you've pulled back the string of an arrow before you lose it.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. So it's just on the brink of happening.
Mm-hmm. But it's like suspension right there.
So this is... Now, how can you do that? How can it be suspended? You can't stay that way forever.
No. As I said, it seemed to me to be the opposite of what the card should mean.
How do you think that happened? That you got a sense that's the opposite of what is apparently clearly intended.
Beats me with a wand.
Huh? Okay. I like that. So if that were so, what would this card mean if it came up in a reading? Let's say, for example, a girlfriend came to you for a reading and she had found out that she was pregnant. And she wanted to know how it would go. And this card came up. What would it tell you? Well, maybe she didn't know she was pregnant. Maybe she'd had a relationship with some guy, and she was worried or concerned about being pregnant. And she wanted to know whether she was or not.
Considering there are 8 wands, that must have been some heck of a relationship.
Uh-huh.
But,
what would you say?
I have a feeling, yes, that she would...
Yeah, you know, this card has a very sexual intent. There is a strong sexual inclination indication here. There is a very powerful male phallic energy in this card. So that definitely would be a consideration. But let's say, okay, let me ask Linda. Linda, if let's say that this, but before I even ask you that, what is your sense of the meaning of this? Is it different than anybody else's?
Well, was it full speed ahead, but it's too late to turn back.
Uh-huh.
And you've gone at something with such force that, watch out, you don't run out of steam.
So?
Unbridled sexual energy.
That's very true. Now, one of the traditional meanings of this card is infatuation. which is odd. I mean, you look at the card and you don't see anybody in the picture, so it's kind of hard to see that, but it is one of the indications here is that there has been a head over heels falling in love. Or there's such intense chemistry that like, you know, going to bed on the first date. Maybe before you even got, you know, to the restaurant. So now the question again, let's assume that something like that had happened. Somebody came to you and had this remarkable, you know, experience with somebody, and they wanted to know if they were pregnant. What would you say?
I'd say, stop buying baby booties.
Uh-huh, okay. So in other words, it's a real good chance. Now, let's say, Sabrina, let's say that this person had come to you after they had already found out they were pregnant, and they knew they were pregnant, but they had had they'd had more than one pregnancy, and one or two, maybe a miscarriage or a stillbirth or something had happened before, and they were nervous about this one, and they wanted to know how the pregnancy was going to come out, and this card came up. What would you say?
I would say that it was going to be a pretty good pregnancy, simply because of the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty benign and it's pretty strong, but considering that it's the eight, could it be possibly a bit premature?
What?
The pregnancy, in other words, could this baby be born in 8 months instead of nine?
Oh yeah.
Isn't that an interesting thought?
Yes, it is.
I just thought I'd throw that in because part of the reading of a card comes from its number, and that's a useful thing to remember here. So, what was your sense of what the card was about? What was the result of your contemplation?
I was completely off from everybody. Okay.
Good. Something different. Something new and different. Let's hear.
I mean, what I got from it was because of the length of the different lengths of it.
Uh huh.
I thought, well, okay, that to me that meant that this person's going to get what they want, but they're going to have a lot. They're going to have a lot of different levels of trouble before they get there.
That's interesting. So, in other words, this is not a smooth ride.
Exactly, but see, that's what I got, but I didn't get anything what you guys got.
Well, no, but the thing about this is that this is a personal introspection. When you go inside and look at this image, the image is meant. Remember, this image is very carefully constructed to evoke from you certain responses, so that when you look at the image and you contemplate it, it will go into a very deep place in you, and it will reverberate there in a way that's particularly appropriate to you. So it's sometimes it's not even about the tradition. It's about you. And this card evokes from you the sense of a bumpy ride. And it doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. But does the idea of speed and consequence, does that seem like it doesn't fit with what you had thought?
This didn't even come into mind. As a matter of fact, speed really didn't seem that important, simply because the house being so far in the background.
Uh-huh. So in other words, things are so far away that you actually, even though do you get the feeling of there being a lot of energy in this, or is that also beside the point?
I see that there is a lot of energy, but I just kind of pulled the energy from like the land, I mean the water and
mm-hmm.
the air.
So now water tends to be slow.
I'm sorry?
Water tends to be slow rather than fast.
Exactly.
And you know, an interesting thing about this card that people sometimes see and sometimes don't. There is a quality in the card, and since all the wands are parallel like that, there is a tendency in this card to, under certain circumstances, especially if it's reversed, to see it as the bars of a prison.
Oh.
In other words, something that prevents movement rather than allows it. An obstacle to movement instead of a help towards it. And that's part of the continuum of meaning of this card. So what you saw in this is the lack of speed, the slowing down, the bumpy ride, the difficulty in arriving at where you need to arrive at. Slow but sure instead of very fast.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if that were so, and let's say that, let's say we use it in a slightly different way. Let's say that somebody came to you and wanted to get a promotion at their job. They thought they were entitled to it. They've been having, they just weren't, I mean, nobody was coming forward to give them the promotion. The boss really didn't seem to be interested. Your friend had tried to bring it up a couple of times, gotten nowhere. And she wanted to know what to do. and she came to you to consult about what to do. And you drew one card to tell her what to do next. And this card came up. What would it tell you? What should she do based on this card?
Based on this card?
Yeah. And your feeling about its central meaning.
I'd say she needed to continue to persevere and keep trying, that it was going to be a slow but sure thing that's going to happen to her.
So don't let up. Keep doing it.
Don't let up. Be patient. Keep doing what you're doing that's right.
Good for you. So in other words, just more of the same, just don't give up.
Exactly.
Cool. That's one of the ways you can use these cards also, is not just to predict, but to advise. The cards will often tell you what to do next if you use them that way.
Question: if the cards are also invoking like our own personal story reactions,
mm-hmm.
how are we able to separate that and actually give somebody a reading?
I'll tell you, and this is a very key thing. Remember I told you at the beginning of the exercise with each card, look carefully at what's in the card. Memorize the image, right? I didn't make a big fuss over it at this point, but there are times when, as a technique, we do what is called a close examination. And a close examination means looking at the card very carefully to see what's actually there. Count everything. What's in the upper right-hand corner? What's in the lower left-hand corner? What are the colors? How many of things are there? What's the background color? Where's the number? How many of everything are there? Just find everything you can find. When you examine the card very, very carefully for what it actually contains, so that you could describe the card in detail without interpreting anything that you see, just describe what you see. Separate your descriptions from your interpretations. If you do that, you'll start with the basis of what's really there. You'll start with an objective base if you just look at the card without interpreting to begin with. Can you tell me right now, if you closed your eyes, can you tell me how many trees there are in this card? Just tell me. Can you tell me how many? Do you know?
No.
Okay. Can you tell me which edge of the card is the house on the hill near?
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
The
which
left.
Edge? Huh?
The left.
The left. Good. So you're able to tell me precisely where the thing is. You know where it is. All that I wanted you to do. Can you tell me how many leaves there are among all the wands?
No.
Good. Next time, count them. Can you tell me which one of the wands, which one of the eight, starting from the top, is closest to the edge, to the right-hand edge? Do you know? Each one of the eight wands is slightly different. It is a slightly different advance. They're all angled downwards in exactly the same way. They're all parallel, but they're not. Each one is slightly at a different distance from the right-hand edge of the card. None of them actually touch the right-hand edge. They're all a little bit of distance away, but they're all a different distance away. Some of them are far away. Some of them are real close. And if I asked you which one of the wands is closest to touching the right-hand edge, would you know?
I know now.
Uh-huh, good. That's all that you have to do to make an objective reading.
Okay.
Look at the card. Know what's there. And don't interpret. Just see. And if you can do that, you'll start from an objective base. That's what's known as being grounded in reality. It's a very simple exercise, but it's an extremely important one. We didn't really do that here. That's not something that we have the time for usually in these classes, because the careful observation of the cards will take up the entire time all by itself. There's so much going on in each card that it would take a good long time to describe it. But if you do that on your own, you'll find it an extremely useful procedure. There's a lot of uses for that, but that's one of them. I know that you may not believe that that's a way to get an objective reading, but that's a great way to start. Okay?
Okay.
Good. Let's go quickly to the nine. Turn the nine face up. Examine it now with that in mind. Look at it very carefully. Observe its parts. So that if I asked you to describe it in detail, you could spend 5 minutes telling me everything that was there. And while you're doing that, write. Write what it means. Okay, down with your pen, stop writing, I shouldn't say that. Okay, anyway, but write these things too. The esoteric title of this card is the Lord of Great Strength. And his astrological attribution is the moon in Sagittarius. Now, Sagittarius is mutable, and the moon is changeable. And yet here is this person standing there with his feet solidly on the ground, looking very foursquare. How does that happen? Contemplate the meaning of this card. Close your eyes. See it in detail. Know what you're looking at. And contemplate the meaning of the card, the core meaning, the central meaning. You've all gotten so much better at this. Take two deep breaths. Open your eyes and write the meaning of the card. Good. Linda, what does this card mean?
It means me.
Yes.
That the battle is over. You may have some wounds, but you're holding on to these old wounds too much, and it's time to see that there really isn't any danger and get on with your life.
So it's time to move on, time to be done with it, to let go of the past. But there is a sense of something difficult or unpleasant having happened already, no?
Yes.
Good. Is there a sense that he's wounded?
Yes, there is. But so, he may be more emotionally wounded because he, you know, than really physically wounded. He looks pretty healthy.
Good. Good. The wounding and the need to let go and to move on seem to be the keys to this. Good. Peggy, what's your sense of this card?
I got rest after struggle, victory at a cost, and hard-won success.
Absolutely.
But it seemed like a much more real victory than that in the six.
That's interesting. Why?
It seems that the red-colored glasses are off, that this is a victory that you fought for.
Uh-huh. This isn't simply an ego-driven mirage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This guy has fought and survived. And the victory is in the survival.
Yes.
Because there's nobody around to celebrate this with him. The only celebration is he's still there. He's still standing. Good. I'm assuming that I'm not putting words in your mouth.
No, you're not.
Okay, good. So let me see. Linda, what's your sense of this card? I did ask you that. I'm sorry, I didn't ask you, Linda, already. Okay, so then I'm going to go back to Sabrina again and ask you, because I know I've given you some work tonight, but I want you to do more. What's
me?
This about? Yes.
Okay. What do you want me? You want me to give you mine?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay. Well, what I got from it was that he's got many problems behind him. Some were real difficult, but there is a victory in there. But he had some problems getting there because he is wounded. But he keeps looking in the past, but he's trying to go forward into a new direction.
Okay. So there's the sense of something having happened already. There's a sense of difficulties overcome. There's a sense of looking into the past and the need to move on. That seems to be a common theme. Good. I'm glad there's a common theme. If several of you are arriving at it simultaneously, then the ability of the card to evoke a meaning is strong. Shahrazad, what's your sense of this card?
Actually, it's pretty much the same. I have needs to let go and move on. He's done a lot of work and has past accomplishments, but it's time to leave those behind. He's feeling a bit lost and separated from what he's done, and he's just now considering where to go next.
Good. Kelly, what's your sense?
I always get the sense to speak. You know, the victory, the need to move on. But I never get the sense that he will. I always get the feeling that, you know, he'd do it again.
He just can't get off of this, huh?
Right. Yeah.
He's stuck in this instant.
But I don't think that. I think we could tell him to move on till chickens came home to roost. He's just not going to do it.
Well, it's interesting because part of the traditional indications of this card are a certain stubbornness. He's stubborn, he's rigid, he's isolated, he's independent, he's dedicated, he's loyal. He's not going to budge. He's definitely not going to budge. You can't push him around. Now, this guy is supposed to be strong as a bull. Physically strong, mentally strong, strong in spirit. You can't push this guy around. But on the other hand, you can't get him to move either. So there was a story about a guy was walking down the road, and he sees another guy standing with a mule, and the guy's pulling on a mule, won't go anywhere, and the guy reaches down and he smashes the mule between the eyes with a 2x4. And the guy who's walking down the road sees this, and he comes over and says, "What are you doing to that poor mule?" And he says, "Well, you know, I want him to move, but before he'll move, I got to get his attention." And that's what this guy had. You have to hit him between the eyes with a 2x4 to get his attention. And so there is definitely the sense of having been through many a battle, but he's expecting many more. He doesn't see an end to it. That's pretty much the standard interpretation of this. But leaving aside the standard interpretation, Anne-Marie, what's your feeling about this card?
Well, everything that everyone has said.
Uh-huh.
And a kind of feeling that you know, he's holding on for dear life.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it is this question, what could we do to make him let go? And yet, like, there's something kind of magnificent about this great strength and loyalty and protecting and defending, but it's like it's gone over the edge into paranoia.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now on the
or
one hand...
Or it can have gone over the edge.
It could.
I'm not saying it definitely has.
Okay, so what happens would be that, oh, if it were a situation, let's say, where... let me think for a second. What would be a good example of something? What do you think? Let's say that you had somebody come to you for a reading who was a young girl, and she had a boyfriend, or she just got a boyfriend, and she wondered about whether she didn't know whether this young guy would pass muster with her parents. And she was a little bit afraid to bring him home, and she didn't know whether she should, or whether she should just keep him secret to herself and just try and get away with it. And she wanted to know whether what you thought would be the result of bringing him home to mom and dad. And you pulled this card, what then?
Well, I'm thinking partly because you said, should she keep it secret?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that she's not wanting to bring him home to mom and dad because they're going to recognize something about him that's kind of off that she knows, but she she doesn't want to know it because she doesn't want to let go of what she sees as positive about him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What would happen if there was, if she, well, all right, let's say, let me think for a second. Let's say that she did bring the guy home, and Dad just didn't like him. But, you know, she's stuck on him, so she comes to you later on, and she wants to know, he's such, my boyfriend is such a nice guy, there's really nothing wrong with him, I don't know why my father feels the way he does. Is there any way I can change my father's mind? Anything I can do to change his mind? Will he ever change his mind? Peggy, what would you feel if this card came up in answer to that?
No, not fully.
You think he would always be suspicious of this young guy?
Yes, I do.
That's sort of what I would feel. But then, Jaina, if the same situation were to have come up and the same card were to have come up and answered, but it were reversed, what then? Will the father ever change his mind about the young man?
I would say yes, but I would say that she would have to change her own self first because she's repeating the same patterns with her father.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let's say that, let me see, what would be another good example? Let's say, trying to think of how to describe this. Let's say that you were the CEO of a big company. No, not you, but the CEO of a big company came to you, and you're a reader for corporate America now. Right? You're making $1,000 a reading. Right, and
wow.
Where
do you get a job?
From your house.
Well, I know people who do that. I mean, people have tried to get me to work with the rich and famous, and I just can't do it. I don't know why. I don't have a talent for it. But I do know people who do. I don't know. I can't tell you that. But there are people that I know who do work with, you know, the Park Avenue crowd and the Wall Street crowd and stuff like that, and they get these kind of figures. And the CEO has come to you because there is a company in his business that's raiding him. That's, you know, doing one of these corporate raids, trying to do a hostile takeover. And he wants to know whether he should sell out or hold on, because there are big consequences in both cases. I mean, if he tries to hold on and loses, he will be out of a job, and a lot of trouble will have happened. It'll be a lot. I mean, if he does fight the takeover, and he loses, a lot of people are going to be out of work, and there's going to be some very heavy consequences. If he gives in too easily, he'll just be giving up his own share, his own stake. He'll basically be cutting his own throat, even though he'll have a golden parachute. He really doesn't want to do it, but he wants to do what's best for his company and for himself too. Is it advisable for him to fight the takeover or to allow it to happen? Take his money and run, or stick it out and try to maintain the independence of his company? And this card were to come up. Let me see. Okay. Peggy, what would be your feeling about that?
He'd win, but there would be a cost.
Ah.
The company might have lost some of its strength, its capital, so mm-hmm. Is he willing to pay that price? The company will be debilitated by the fight.
Okay. Will he survive it?
Yes.
So now this is an indication that he'll survive a hostile takeover?
To me it is, yeah.
Okay.
But is he willing to pay the cost?
Ah, that's a really good question. Now, Scheherazade, if this card were to come up, would you tell this guy that, you know, that he was after? Would you think that the hostile takeover was actually in process, or that he was, you know, just worried too much in advance?
No, I think it's in process, and I think that he does need to let go, because I think if he fights, he's going to alienate what he has, and that it would be good, even though the he doesn't want to move, that he really needs to be encouraged to do so, because he's separated from
mm-hmm.
everything in the company already. He's on that stage.
Uh-huh, right.
So he needs to let go.
So your feeling is this card would tell him that, stubborn as he is, it's time to let go.
Yeah.
Good. Now, these are individual calls. Each of you would have, some of you think that he should hold on because he'll win the battle. Some of you think that he should hold on even though there will be great cost. One of you now thinks that he should let go. That would be the best way to do it. And there is a legitimacy to each of those positions. Depending on who the person was and exactly what they told you, it could actually go either way. The main thing about the card is the indication that there is a hard-fought there's something, there's injury, there's what would you call it, there's wounding going on here, one way or another, no matter how you look at it, whether he lets go or doesn't, it's trouble. Now the question is, can he stick it out? Not so much should he stick it out, but can he stick it out? Will he win if he sticks it out? What do you think, Charizard?
If he sticks it out, he could win. But back to someone else at great cost, it would be great cost because he's going to separate himself from a lot of people that were allies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so he risks that.
Okay, so this card then, now if it came up reversed, what do you think? What would be the indication for this CEO if the card came up reversed as to whether or not he could win?
I think if it were reversed, he couldn't win, that he'd be backed into a corner.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be practically a surefire thing. So then, of course, the indication would be he should definitely give up and get out.
Right.
It's an easy enough card to understand also. It's not that difficult. It's basically hanging tough where you can do it. If you can't do it, get out. And hanging tough is going to cost you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, there are times when this kind of energy is really wonderful to have. If you have to defend, if you're stuck in a, if you're cornered and you have to hang on, it's really nice that you can do it. It's nice to know that in spite of everything, you can hold on if you have to. Good. Let's go quickly.
Wait, opening to his back.
Right.
And he's allowing himself to be vulnerable. What's that?
He's provided himself with a way out. Stubborn as he is, there is a way for him to back off if he wants to. And there, of course, there's also the fact, yeah, you're right, his back is actually vulnerable. He could be approached from the behind and actually lose. There is a possibility of that. But that's an interesting call. That would depend on the situation, and you'd have to know how to use that gap in the reading. Good. Does anybody have any questions about this card, or am I wrong about it being reasonably clear? Good. I take silence for assent. Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So what I want to do now is to take a look at the last card, which is the 10. And now what I want you to do is this. Since we've done as much work as we have, I want you to keep the card face up, keep your eyes open. Don't write anything down. But as you look, take in the details of the card, and I'm going to ask you one by one what you think this card is about. Anne-Marie? What comes to mind?
What comes to mind is that this person has made things harder for himself than he needs to.
Okay, is he compulsive? Is he blind? Is he stupid? What?
I'd say none of the above. But he's struggling so hard, and it looks like he's trying to, like, hold on or move the wands, but the position that he's in looks very inefficient for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be that the wands are, like, trying to break free and he's trying to hold them down, and maybe he'd be better off soaring up with them.
So you figure
and
that...
And it's not any... It doesn't feel like a character flaw to me. It just seems like kind of, how do I say... He's not seeing the forest for the trees.
Well, that's for sure. He's way too close to the problem to see the whole thing from a good perspective. The esoteric title of this card is the Lord of Oppression, and it's Saturn and Sagittarius.
Saturn?
Saturn, yes. A combination of heaviness and lightness. An interesting combination.
I
didn't
get the other one. Saturn and what?
In Sagittarius.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Jaina? What's this card about?
Overwhelming pressure.
Ah, pressure, yes, for sure. How long has he been carrying this load?
It appears a really long time to me.
And how long will he continue to carry it?
Until he realizes that, I think, when I see this, even though there's no other people there,
mm-hmm.
I really think he carries it because he thinks it's expected.
Absolutely. But who expects it? Does he expect it of himself?
I think he thinks other people expect it, and he's not looking to see that there's nobody around that can, you know, he doesn't have to.
Good. What are his prospects of being able to continue to do this?
I don't think very good. I think he's going to have to let it go at some point.
Linda, do you think that he will be able to carry this burden indefinitely?
No, he's going to have to let them go.
Ah. How far in the future do you think that would be?
Till he can't take it anymore.
How far is that? Here's this card. It comes up and it shows you this person who has probably been carrying this load for a while. Do you think that his inability to hold on is imminent? Is it going to happen soon that he's going to drop this load, or will he be able to carry it all the way to that house in the background?
I think he better be warned that he's going to have to drop the load.
Ah.
Kind of a warning.
So you think if he drops a load, will it be a good thing for him or a bad one?
I think it's going to be a good thing.
Now let's say that let's say that you did a reading for yourself, and let's say that you had a lot of trouble in your life at this point. You had troubles with job, troubles with relationship, troubles with family, troubles with health. I mean, this was a difficult time in your life, and you are struggling really hard to bear up under it all. And you just didn't know how long you could hold on, or if you could get through it. Can I get through this? Can I do it? Can I survive until things get better? And you pull this card, and you look at it, and you contemplate yourself as you look at this card. What would it tell you? Can you hold on? Can you do it? Or are you going to drop the ball?
At a great expense. I don't think that you should. I think that you have to take a breather, and you really have to let go of something.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, you know, you have to try to do the best you can with some of the wands.
How successful?
Some of them go.
How successful do you think you would be in continuing to march on, to soldier on through all of your difficulties before you had your nervous breakdown or whatever?
Successful.
Huh?
Not successfully.
Not successfully.
No.
Okay, good.
But I see the success in the way the wands are opening.
Mm-hmm. Now, they're fairly well organized.
Mm-hmm.
They're nice and neat. He appears to have a very strong back and very strong legs. He's walking on fairly even ground. There is a plowed field in the background which gives the sense of promise for the future. There's a white house with a red roof that gives the sense of order and security and a fulfillment of wishes, if only he can reach it. He's got a belt around his waist which indicates that he can separate out one issue from another. He's got golden hair which indicates that he is very conscious of what he's doing. He's not a fool. Now, given all of those things and the fairly benign blue sky and green of the background, what are his chances of pulling off something that requires enormous effort and consistent, perpetual labor with a back-breaking load? Can he do it? Does he have the ability? Marcy, what's your feeling?
I believe absolutely that this is that the hard work will pay off, that he's going to be able to reach a new level here. For me, it's completion. It's being able to know that you're spiritually protected.
Mm-hmm.
Your goal is right there. Just go the extra mile. And
Going the extra mile, that's really pretty tough. Going the extra mile. This is a person who believes that work is virtue. This is a person who feels that the strong back is his biggest asset. It's an attitude. Work, work, work. This is the card of the workaholic. This is somebody who just accepts burdens and responsibilities. No matter what you pile on him, he'll always accept another one. He'll always, you know that thing about if you want something done, give it to a busy man to do? This is the guy who'll do it. Whatever you throw at him, he'll take on.
That's you.
Well, sometimes. This guy is not able to delegate. He has to do it all himself, but he calls that getting the job done. And when you can't hold up for another second, but you still do it, he thinks of it as bearing up. Of course, he's resentful every once in a while, and he thinks of that his resentfulness can look like self-sacrifice. There are lots of people who carry heavy loads, but they're very self-righteous about it. And they make it sound like a big deal when it's actually their own fault that they have to carry this. Nobody has to carry loads like this. This is a person who does it because he wants to. There is an intention in this. There's will and desire in this card. This is not something that has been forced on him. He's not a mule that people have heaped things on. All of these burdens have been embraced. He has his arms around them. And there is now a So the main thing about this is that whatever the burdens are, whether he's able to carry them or not, he's doing it because he wants to. And he has a talent for it. And he has a lot of strength. This issue as to whether or not he'll be able to keep it up, now that's tricky. You notice in the card, you notice that he's wearing shoes, right? He's not wearing boots, he's wearing shoes. And you notice that there is the laces on the shoes on his back foot are fairly emphasized, which you don't see very often in tarot. What do you think would happen if one of those shoelaces came untied?
He'd trip.
He is just, it's a disaster waiting to happen. If he tripped, all that stuff would go scattered all over the place and all his work would have been for nothing. Now let's assume for the moment that, let me think, what would be... Could somebody come up with a good question? Does anybody have a question that they would like to have answered? Anybody have an interesting question they want a reading on? Come on, guys, think of something.
Will I win the lottery?
Will you win the lottery? Will you win the... You mean now or ever?
Okay.
You're playing it now?
No, I guess... what's the best way to ask it, then?
Well, tell me. You think of it. While you're thinking, I would like somebody else to think also. I want more than one question.
How about what direction should I go as far as employment?
What direction should you go as far as employment? Okay, and you pull this card. Direction. Can anybody tell what direction you should go as far as employment is concerned here? What should a person do? What should a person be looking for? Lots of responsibility? Would you be working in a one person office? Would you be willing to be somebody's secretary and do all the different things that need to be done for somebody else, carry their burdens for them? Are you able to handle a big load? This strikes me as being a card that would tell you that you would be looking for employment that would have increased responsibility. Lots to do. Lots of things to keep you occupied, lots of things to keep you busy, and lots of important work to do. This is not a card of light labor. Are you ready for important, heavy-duty work? Tell me.
That's what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm going, I don't know if I want to do that again.
That's so funny. Well, so there comes this business about, you know, here's this person who's been doing it all this time but may not be able to do it forever, maybe shouldn't be doing it forever. So then in that case, if this is what's been going on for you for a while, maybe this card is giving you a warning and that maybe you should put the burden down and try for something lighter instead. Maybe it's not telling you about the future. Maybe it's telling you about the past and using that as a hint. Do you want, are you comfortable carrying big burdens like that?
Yeah, I have been in the past. It's one of those things you get in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
And you just do it.
So that means that it may not be so easy, even if you wanted to do light work and easy stuff and, you know, just take it easy, you might not be able to. It gets to be a habit.
Yeah. A bad habit.
Yes, but you know, the interesting thing about that habit is that if it is your habit, if that's the way you're made, if that's the way you're built, then there is that farmhouse and that field at the far end. There's a promise of good things at the end of the road. So it may be that you should possibly consider persisting along those lines with the idea of reaching a final goal when you can finally put down the burden after having completed the job. So maybe under the circumstances, my feeling is that you should continue along those lines until you can't do it anymore. Do you feel that you can continue if you needed to?
Yeah.
Then do it. Do it because it's your nature to do it. You do it well, and you'll probably be well paid for it.
Right. Question.
Yeah.
Those wands in front of him, isn't also that he may have lost his perspective?
It depends. It depends on what you call perspective. Since his head is buried in his problems, buried in his work, he knows his work extremely well. And he also is going, if you think of the house and the field in the background as being an appropriate place to head for, he's going in the right direction.
Could
so,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
No, it's just he isn't looking up to see where he's going.